There'll be debate and discussion about many things, including whether or not you should push ahead with plain packaging on tobacco products. You see this as the obvious way to go?
Yes, absolutely, because England, Scotland, Wales and the Republic of Ireland are all going down the same line. We're all having a situation where in 2016, packages of cigarettes will be plain brown with a health warning and a standard type face and a barcode. We want to make them unexciting. We want to make them that they don't look glamorous and we don't want to attract new young people to go into the habit.
Yes, people would say that's very much in keeping with Jim Wales or even with some elements within the DUP. We don't want them to be exciting. We don't want them to be glamorous.
We also want them to live, Frank, and every year in Northern Ireland we lose 2,300 people who often die agonising deaths as a result of a smoking habit. This is entirely based on a health issue. Indeed, one of the people who has opposed this has been one of our own MPs, Ian Paisley Jr. The reality is that 80% of smokers start before they're 18. They're enticed by the glamour of the packages, which look exciting and bright, and indeed for young girls they almost look like perfume bottles. We have to make it that smoking is something, if people want to give up, they're given every encouragement to do so. And certainly the packages at the moment are very much in your face. This is the thing to do. It's hip. It's cool. We have to stop that image.
I certainly want to ask you about Ian Paisley and in relation to his opinion. How difficult are you finding it with Ian, considering he is a fellow colleague?
Well, he's representing his constituents in North Antrim, and of course everyone is very upset about the fact that we've lost 1,000, or will lose 1,000, very well paid secure jobs. So I can understand where Ian's coming from in this respect. Unfortunately, as we know, JTI have announced that they are pulling out of Ballymena, that there's nothing to be done to reverse that. So whether we have plain paper packaging or not is going to have no impact whatsoever on that decision. And I think in the long term, people appreciate that if we can save young people from taking up this habit, then it's a good thing in the long term. I recently lost a friend to lung cancer, and I can tell you, Frank, no one deserves to die the death that really did. It was horrendous. And she regrets today and hour that she took up smoking as a teenager when she perceived it as being glamorous, exciting and trendy. And we need to help young people to avoid taking it up because the consequences can be disastrous.
If the so-called Gallagher's factory was in Kilkeel, would you be pushing ahead with it?
I hope I would, Frank, because I think we have to think of the greater good. But obviously, if the Gallagher's factory was in Kilkeel and had announced that it was closing and we were losing those very valuable jobs, then I think we'd have to accept that whether we're paying paper packages or not, it's not going to salvage that very difficult situation. And I understand Ian's position, and I haven't fallen out with him about it. The reality is that we have to save lives. And smoking is unique in the sense that it has to replace 250,000 people a year in Europe simply to cover those, replace those who've been killed by taking up cigarettes. I mean, this is a sad reality. 50% of smokers will die from a smoking-related condition.
Yes, but are you saying that Ian Paisley's putting votes before saving lives?
No. Ian is a very diligent, hard-working constituency MP who's doing his best for his constituents, the people of Ballymena and the surrounding area. And that's what politics is about. It's about representing your local people. But I have to take a much bigger picture of that. I have to look at the overall issue of the cost to the health service, the terrible pain, things like COPD, lung cancer, of course, which kills 900 people a year in Northern Ireland, and heart disease. And all the evidence is absolutely overwhelming. The quickest hit that we could achieve to protect public health in Northern Ireland is to stop people smoking. It's as simple as that.
How are you going to deal with the illegal trade, the fact that it'll be driven underground, the kids will still be able to get cigarette packets coming in from elsewhere in Europe, and they'll have the counterfeit ones, the even sexier ones than those that are available in the tobacconists?
Well, one of the things the HMRC are doing in England and will extend to all of the United Kingdom is a very complex barcoding system which will make it exceptionally difficult to forge our counterfeit cigarettes. And you know, clearly I see this as a way forward, because there was that concern that if it went to plain brown packaging, then it would be very easy to fake at the counterfeit. Well, action has been taken to stop that. And there has been a decrease in the amount of fake and counterfeit cigarettes in the UK market. The HMRC and the customs authorities have really clamped down on this, and that's good news. But at the end of the day, the vast majority of people who are taking up smoking in Northern Ireland are buying the standard, well-known brands. They're not buying counterfeit. And we have to help the 80% of people who are desperate to give up, because everybody now accepts that smoking causes severe damage to your health. The science is absolutely incontrovertible.
And do you believe that this will help beat the smugglers, considering the legit packs are going to be plain, but some of the smuggled packs from maybe China or wherever are going to stick out like a sore thumb?
Well, it will help, because obviously it'll not be worth the smugglers' efforts to have just plain packages for a small part of the market. Yes, I think it'll help, but at the end of the day, it's a health message rather than a smuggling message. I would say to your listeners, come with me to the cancer wards of the Belfast City Hospital and see the impact of smoking, particularly on our vulnerable communities. It's absolutely horrendous. The obvious question I'd ask myself and ask your listeners, would we, if somebody invented tobacco today and told us it would kill half of its users, would we allow that product onto the market? Absolutely not, we wouldn't. It's more dangerous than many of the drugs you're talking about. We simply have to try and continue the good work of reducing smoking, which is down now to 22% in Northern Ireland. About 1 in 5 people in Northern Ireland smoke, and that's good news.
You're critics, of course, and they say it to me when I talk about smoking here. They say I'm buying into the nanny state initiative.
Well, Frank, that's an interesting point. The people who complain about the nanny state are those who are very quick to call upon the nanny state to pay for very expensive cancer drugs, etc., to try and save their lives when they become extremely ill as a result of a smoking habit. You can't have it both ways. You can't complain about the nanny state trying to restrict smoking and then demand the nanny state pick up the huge bill to care for you when you take an illness because of smoking.
There's a couple of other things I want to ask you. One is about a radio documentary I heard last night as I was driving through Omagh, of all places. And I was listening to it and I couldn't believe what they were saying, that there's an initiative in England to ensure that doctors, whenever they are visiting a patient on the ward in a hospital, tell the patient who they are. I think it's called My Name Is How Are You Initiative. It's something like that it's called, because a considerable number of doctors are carrying out some very invasive tests without even speaking to the patient. And these people who are on, these patients' representatives who are on, were understandably giving off stink about it. Now, is there any possibility that that's beginning to filter into Northern Ireland or not?
Oh, it's here already. It's called the 10,000 Voices campaign. And all our medical staff are encouraged to say, hello, my name is, so that the patient's fully aware of who's treating them.
Do we have the problem in Northern Ireland?
I suspect in Northern Ireland, not to the same extent, because we're a much closer-knit community, and many of the patients would know or know of the folk that are looking after them. But I think it's a basic courtesy that before you undertake any procedure, you introduce yourself, you make yourself known, so the person feels more relaxed and at ease. So yes, we are very keen to support this campaign. It's been pioneered by a young lady in England who, unfortunately, is a medic who has been diagnosed with a very terminal illness, which is, you know, a very sad situation. And she wants to roll out a campaign that says, look, let the people know, put them at their ease. And certainly that's a campaign that the RCN here in Northern Ireland has been very keen to pursue in recent months.
It is hard to believe that any medic, nurse, doctor or whoever would go up to a patient and not introduce themselves before they start, for want of a better term, fiddling with you. And I'm just, you know, I'm throwing it open this morning to anyone who may be listening who's had the experience in Northern Ireland like they've already had in England. I'd be surprised if we have doctors or nurses without that sort of etiquette or manner here in this part of the world.
Trying to be fair, some of these doctors and nurses are rushed off their feet. They're working extremely hard. It mightn't be any intent to be rude. It's just they're just so busy. But I think it's important that we stop and treat the person not as a patient but as a human being, and be as friendly to them as you can. I must say, we don't get many complaints about this in Northern Ireland, but it's important that we have best practice throughout the UK, and I welcome the RCN's strong support for this campaign.
And the other thing I do want to touch on, because this will be part of the programme as it goes by, as the Health Minister, how concerned are you about drugs in the prisons?
Well, I was absolutely shocked by the statistics that I heard quoted on your programme this morning. And there's something clearly wrong for a unit that's meant to be secure when it can be over 400 drug discoveries in one single year. People should come out of prison healthier than they go in. They certainly shouldn't be facilitated to pick up a drug habit. And there's something seriously wrong where a high security environment, we cannot stop both Class A and B drugs, but also prescription drugs being smuggled in to a prison. And the authorities, as the Sue McAllister, the governor, said, the authorities should have a zero tolerance of this in McGabry, McGilligan and Hydebank.
But it's a bit like the doctors not having time to speak to the nurse or speak to the patients because the nurses and doctors are run off their feet. There's only so much that the prison officers can do.
Yes, but I mean, basic searching should stop the drugs getting into the prison in the first place. Regular searches of cells and wings should be mandatory. I mean, I'm shocked to hear, for instance, this morning that people come in without a drug addiction and within days are introduced to all sorts of concoctions which are extremely bad for their health. And we've had five suicides of people who've just been released and who had a drug problem. I mean, the idea of prison as rehabilitation is meant to put people back on the straight and narrow and encourage them to live a more normal life. The last place we want it to be is somewhere where drugs are traded, you know, for significantly high prices within the wings. I mean, that strikes me as a fundamental flaw in our present system.
And is there some flaw within the system where people are getting prescription drugs in some roundabout way and taking them into the prisoners?
I think what is more likely is that over half of prisoners are on prescription drugs. And I suspect what is happening is prisoners are getting drugs legitimately and then trading them rather than huge smuggling. We have pharmacists, the South East Trust provide the medical service within our prisons. And what we need to do is make certain that the person who receives the drug is the person who takes it.
And can more be done from the health perspective, from the Ministry of Health, to ensure that they're assisting the Department of Justice to ensure that drugs aren't rife in the prisons?
Well, I think the revelations on the radio this morning will prompt the South East Trust to liaise with DOJ to see what we can do to clamp down on this, because we want our prisoners coming out having been punished, but also coming out healthier and more fit for society. And the evidence in the radio this morning would indicate we're not succeeding in doing that.
Okay. Health Minister Jim Wales, thanks for your time this morning. Thank you.
Thanks, Frank.
It's the Health Minister covering a few points there for us. It's almost 20 past nine. You can pick up on anything he's saying or anything that we're talking about. I think Robert is homing in on the plain packaging. Robert, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. And Neil, as a smoker, I smoke 20 Silcut a day, to be honest with you. And as a smoker, I think it's a bit ludicrous with the plain packaging. I'll give you an example. When you go into shops now, they have got the shutters across, and you ask for, say, when I go in personally and ask for 20 Silcut, the majority of shops have shutters across them. Now, I know a woman works in the shop, and she's telling me it's going to come law in April that you will not be allowed to display cigarettes. So I can't see the logic in plain packaging.
But having said that, if you're not allowed to display them and the youngster knows they're in behind that partition and they want to get their hands on them, they know what they look like, they see people smoking out of them, so they want to hold, as Jim Wells said, like a perfume-bottled, styled motif which they'll be able to whip out at the disco and, you know, say, let's go outside and play with one of these big boys. That does add to the appeal of what they have in their hand.
But, yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that, Frank, but basically what I'm saying is the shops I go into now, the shutters are across. And, you know, if you're going to go, you're right in what you said about an any state. Alcohol's a big killer as well.
Oh, no, totally. But, you know, maybe if the health minister and the other relevant authorities across the UK get this one over the line, they can then start on the alcohol and insist on plain packaging for all the sexy drinks that exist. And then when they get that over the line, they could revert back to the sugar industry and, you know, change the packaging on the sweet wrappers. You know, we're only getting started here.
I know what you're saying, but I hear you're right, what you said earlier on there, it's becoming a nanny state. You know what I honestly believe, Frank? This is my own personal opinion. You might find this funny. I believe if you die drowning, you'll never be hung.
Well, that's true, Robert. I've often heard that up the country, but the bottom line is you're smoking 20 fags a day and they're not going to do your health any good over, I'm sure you're a man of middle age, they're not going to do your health any good over the next 10 years.
I wouldn't be a medical expert to disagree on that, Frank. But to be honest with you, I like smoking a cigarette now, to be honest with you. I do 20 over the course of the day.
Well, you'll continue smoking them, of course, when they go into a boring brown package with the picture of a dying person on the front.
Frank, honestly, totally, yeah.
Okay, Robert, thank you for that. 90-333-105. Robert says he agrees with me when I said the nanny state. I did ask Jim Wells if indeed it is a move from the nanny state, as opposed to me saying it is the nanny state. Right, good morning. This is U105.